Did you know that the Gardener's Workshop offers online courses? Whether you're a gardener or a flower farmer, we cover it all, allowing you to increase your skills at your own pace. So check out our full list of courses today at thegardenersworkshop.com. The Gardener's Workshop, turning all thumbs green.
Hey friends, welcome back to another Field and Garden podcast. It is your host and friend, Lisa Mason Ziegler, and thanks for dropping in. And you are in for a delight today. I am here with my good friend, Dave Dowling. Hey, Dave.
Hi, Lisa. How are you doing today?
I am good. So Dave and I are going to talk about lily succession planting today. And I never knew kind of what that was. I always thought you just bought them in the fall and planted them and they bloom next summer. And that was the end of the story. Well, friends, stay tuned because it is much deeper than that. But before we jump into that, I just want to invite you, if you have not ever been over to thegardenersworkshop.com, that is home base to a lot of great resources. And you will find over there our fully stocked online garden shop, a fully stocked online library of which we have courses. Dave is the instructor of, as well as myself. And you can find that and so much more over there. So you're always invited to drop in any old time. So Dave, let's talk lily succession planting. And let's just, first off, for anyone that doesn't know Dave, introduce yourself.
Yeah, my name is Dave Dowling. I had a cut flower farm in Maryland for 20 years, from the mid-1990s to the mid-19-teens, I guess it is, or 20-teens. Then I went to work for Edney Flower Ball, which became part of the Fred Glockner Company, which then got bought by the Ball Seed Company. So I work now for Ball Seed or Ball ColorLink. And I sell seeds, plugs, bulbs, all kinds of stuff to cut flower growers all across the country. And I'm also a previous or a lifetime member of the association, especially cut flower growers, previous president, regional director, conference chair, all kinds of stuff. So, and then I do the class with Gardener's Workshop on bulbs, perennials, woodies, and more.
And, you know, so friends, y'all have to know that our nickname in the business for Dave is the walking encyclopedia. And after that list of what he's done and where he's been, you kind of know that. And that's why I'm just going to pick his brain today. So Dave, my first question is, why would somebody want a succession plant lily bulbs? We'll talk about how in a minute, but right, why would somebody want to do that?
Well, like with any crop, if you succession plant them, you can sell them more often. So in other words, you're not going to sell them just for 2 or 3 weeks in June. You can sell them in June, July, August, September. But if you have a heated greenhouse, you can sell them year round. And the more you can sell something, you know, the higher your farm income will be. And if you have things more often, it's more likely that the florist is going to count on you for those flowers. If you have sunflowers or lilies for 1 week a year or 2 weeks a year, they're not going to count on you for that. But if you have them every week all season, the florist is most likely going to go to you as their first choice for that crop, be it lilies, sunflowers, whatever, because they know that yours is going to be better and fresher and just a good crop.
You know, that's so true, because I think one of the things that we naturally think is, oh my, if they bought them from me for 3 weeks, certainly they'd be tired of them. That's not how it is. No. In the flower business, right?
No.
They're looking for quality and consistency and to count on you. And the longer you can have them, it's an easy sell. You don't have to sell them anymore. They just keep ordering them every week when you have them, right?
Right. And lilies are something that a retail florist would use all the time. Yeah. It's not something that they use just like, you know, poinsettia at Christmas time. They'll use lilies 52 weeks out of the year if you have them available for them.
All right. So let's talk about growing lilies in bulb crates. But first, tell us, why would you grow them in bulb crates instead of planting them out in the garden?
Okay. Well, like you had mentioned earlier, you thought that you would just plant lilies once in the fall and they would come up in the spring. You pick them, you're done for the year. I thought that first when I first started growing flowers in the mid-1990s. Until I found out that they are stored at the professional wholesaler or the professional grower, where they're stored frozen. And the bulbs think it's wintertime while they're in the freezer at about 29 degrees. They ship them to you and they start to grow as soon as you plant them. So you succession plant them all year, or throughout the season, start planting in March, keep planting till August and have them for 6 months out of the year. And the reason you're growing them in crates is because if you plant them all in the field, they will overwinter, come back the next year, but then you're going to always have all your old lilies blooming in June and maybe early July, depending where you're at. So if over the course of the year you grow 1,000 lilies in the field, succession planting them the first year, the next year they're all going to bloom in June. And you're going to have so many lilies, you're not going to get them all picked. You're not going to use them all. Plus, lilies grown in an open field often will get too much water and rain on them and get botrytis and ruin them. So it's always best if you can grow them in a high tunnel or in a greenhouse. But if I grow them in the crates, you can plant lilies every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks, or I used to plant them every week and have a constant supply of lilies to sell to your customers.
And so that's something, you know, and I can distinctly remember, Dave, soon after I learned this from you, you know, back when the dinosaurs were roaming the earth, I remember that we had this time of the year, a big old hurricane was coming, and it was a lot of work because I grew a lot of lilies back then. We were able to move because I grew them outdoors. You know, I don't have hoop houses. Mm-hmm. We were able to move all those crates into this building that I'm sitting in and save them. So
yes.
The mobility opportunity of moving when they're growing in crates is really, really huge. But it's just so much easier and it's less labor intensive, we learned also. So Dave, growing in crates, tell us about that. What size crates, how you would actually do that, yeah. And then how do you get all that?
Yeah, well, you normally would grow them in what's called a lily crate, which is a crate that's about 18 by 24 inches and about 9.5 to 10 inches tall. It's the ones that the bulbs come in. If you order large quantities of bulbs from a wholesaler, your lilies or tulips or anything might often come in those crates and you would just save and reuse them. The crates never wear out. The only way you're going to ruin one is run over it with the tractor or the truck. They do not break.
True story.
But you can grow them in that. Or I even have a customer that's in Alabama and he didn't have crates. And he went to Walmart and bought the little blue kiddie pools that are about 5 inch in diameter and he grew them in that. The only thing with that, you can't move them once you've planted, but he was able to grow them in that because he didn't have access to crates. So there are other alternatives you can do and get the same end result of a lily grown succession planted. But you would get the lily crates from your supplier and you can also buy just empty crates, but they're very expensive to ship. So it's always best to try and find somewhere near you where you can go pick them up, even if it's a 2 or 3 hour drive to go pick up the crates as opposed to shipping them. Because to ship 40 empty crates on a pallet, 300 miles doesn't cost you $300. And you can make that, you know, 5 hour or 4 hour round trip for a lot less expense than that.
And the one thing to think about, because Suzanne and I, in fact, did drive over Brent and Becky's, which is a really well-known on the East Coast retailer of bulbs. They just live, or their business is like 40 minutes from me. So I called Brent and said, hey, y'all got any bulb crates? He said, oh my gosh, please come over here and get some of these crates. And I paid him, I think, $1 or $2 for each one, which is kind of a great deal. Well, Suzanne and I went over there in a pickup truck and we had straps, but we didn't have enough straps. And even though those things are light, we had to stop twice coming. We had to go over the Gloucester Bridge to come home over the York River. So they take a lot of space,
right?
Even though they're light. So
they don't nest.
Yes, they don't nest. Exactly. Right. They stack high. So anyway, so that's a great tip. And also, I think sometimes if you have a retail nursery in town that moves a lot of bulbs, they might be a good source. Right. So yeah,
or even a garden center that grows their own perennials, because a lot of the bare root perennials come in the same crates. So it doesn't hurt to check around and even think of like a public garden center that grows a bunch of bulbs in the fall that they plant on, they would have empty crates too. Just always offer to buy them, say, here, can I buy them from you for $2 or $3 a crate? And usually they'll say yes.
Yeah,
the trick is finding somebody. They're out there everywhere.
Yeah. And that's a deal. All right. So which lilies are typically grown this way?
There's about 5 or 6 different kinds of lilies. Think of, everybody knows Stargazer. That's an oriental lily. It's been around forever. It's not a great variety to grow. There's better ones now.
Right.
That's an oriental lily that has the scent. Then you got a Asiatic lily, which is a lot of bright colors, yellows, orange, red. Also comes in white, and it does not have a scent. Usually a little smaller flower. But then years ago, they took the Asiatic lily and crossed it with a longiflorum lily, which is the Easter lily, and came up with a variety called LA, or longiflorum Asiatic lily. And that's what a lot of people grow now. It's unscented or a very light scent and faster to grow. You know, time is money. So if you can get a lily bloom in 12 weeks versus 16, you save 4 weeks of care and labor to take care of them. Then there's also OT, which is Oriental Trumpet, which will have a scent. Also, usually a little bit quicker than an oriental. But those are the four main ones that cut flower growers would grow.
And so I grew the LA hybrids, and that kind of gave me a niche with my florist. I mean, they're bigger blooms than the Asiatics, right?
Yes.
And which was the one that was so quick? Wasn't it Salmon Classic?
Used to be a variety called Salmon Classic, but they've discontinued about 4 years ago. They
Oh
will
my
sometimes
God.
bloom in 6 weeks in the summertime.
Yes.
Very fast.
Yes. Anyway, so those are the different types. Now tell me what size bulb. So you have a 9-inch crate.
Right.
And then tell me the process. What first tell us what size bulbs you recommend.
Well, the bulbs come in centimeters circumference, starting with 12 to 14 centimeter circumference, then 14, 16, 16, 18, 18, 20, which gets even bigger, and even some 20, 22 that are really big, which most cut flower growers would never grow those because it's going to be too big, too many blooms on the stem.
Right.
If you're growing the Asiatic and the LA, you usually use the 14, 16 size, and they'll give you usually 3 or 4, maybe 5 blooms on a stem. If you're growing Oriental, you can do the 14, 16, but usually only get maybe 3 blooms on a stem. If you're using them for a mixed bouquet, that's fine. But if you want to be able to sell them by these individual stems and get a little bit more money for them, you would grow the 16, 18, which will usually give you 5 to 6 blooms on a stem. But each variety is a little bit different. You know, one Oriental 16, 18 may only have 5 blooms, another might have 8, depending on the variety.
Right. And so you get one stem
One stem per
per
bulb.
bulb. And all right. So we know which lilies, we know what size. So I remember that I did grow like the 14, 16s, where gigantic is really impressive. They cost more. And in fact, my florist preferred that 5 to 6 blooms per stem at the
Yes.
most. I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot. And with the Asiatics, did you say there was 10 12s? I think for
They
bouquet.
come 10, 12s, but that's getting way too small. Some of the times you see the potted lilies in Home Depot or the Garden Center, those are the 10, 12s. You want to go with at least a 12, 14, but
Maybe
usually the
that's what
14,
it was.
16. You don't want to go smaller than 12, 14.
And that's perfect if you're going to put one lily in a mixed bouquet,
Right.
like when we did supermarket work and those types of things, right?
Right, because that one lily that might cost you $2 to grow for the price of the bulb and the labor and the soil and everything, it increased the price of that bouquet by $4 or $5.
Yes. All right. So where should people buy these bulbs?
Well, they definitely should not be buying them at the garden centers, the big box stores. It's just a totally different lily. You can go to Home Depot in the fall and buy lilies, or sometimes in the spring they'll have them. But they're what's called dry sale, which they've been dug into stored dried, never pre-cooled. They're just not the quality you want for a cut flower. Your best bet is to buy them from a commercial wholesale lily supplier, which the one we work with here at Ball is Edney Flower Bulbs out of New Jersey, and they also have a warehouse in Oregon. There are a couple other ones. There's Zabo Plant, and can't think the other ones have lilies. But the biggest thing to know is you're buying lilies that are stored frozen, and you never can get a lily that's been stored frozen at Home Depot or a garden center, and that's the difference. You know, if you go in a garden center in the spring, you see them all in the bag and they're already sprouted. You don't want that. You want ones that are
right,
stored frozen, shipped to you, they're ready to plant when they arrive.
And so let's just talk about that for a minute, because I think I never kind of got this until you explained it to me a long time ago and I started doing it. So this means, so once a month, I had crates of lilies shipped to me every month for like, I think it was from like March until probably like August.
Right.
Because I don't have houses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those lilies would arrive, and then we would plant half of them when we got them, and we'd plant the other half 2 weeks later, and I'd hold them in a cooler that kept them cold. So that meant that those lilies would get planted, and then they say, oh, wake up, let's grow and bloom. And then a month later, I get more frozen lilies. They're frozen when they leave the supplier. They are not frozen by the time you get them. And you plant them, and they wake up and say, oh, it's time to bloom. And that's the succession part of this, right?
Yes, exactly, yep. And you were mentioning how you would get the crate of lilies coming, let's say, on the first of the month and plant half and plant the other half in 2 weeks. That's about the longest you can hold them in a cooler is 2 weeks. Because even in the cooler at 35 degrees, they think it's springtime, and they're going to start to grow and get sprouts on them. And the worst thing you do is have a bag or crate full of lilies that are all intertwined with, you know, 3 or 4 inch sprouts that you can't get separated, and it's just going to ruin them.
It's true. And, you know, so you really, you got to plant them. You have to plant them immediately. So there really is no saving them for later.
No.
Other than, you know, like a week or two later. And I found that to be really true. And, you know, I don't know if this is a kosher thing to do, Dave, but sometimes we would plant them all in bulb crates and put half of those bulb crates planted in that cooler.
That's the best way to do it. Rather than unplanted in the cooler. Best is to plant them all upon arrival, and then you can put half of them in the cooler, planted and watered, and let them sit in there for 2 weeks because they're going to grow some roots and get established.
Exactly, because we could then stack the bulb crate, so it only took one footprint of a bulb crate in my cooler. We typically, in summer, don't use our cooler a lot because all these warm summer annuals don't really, we move flowers too fast. So it really worked out really, really well. So the best way to sit on cooled lilies is to plant them in crates and then put them in the cooler and let them do what they're going to do.
Exactly. Yep.
All right. So what soil? So you have a bulb crate, 9.5 inches tall. You don't recommend using the shorter ones, right?
Those aren't good enough for lilies because lily bulbs, when you get them, they have roots growing at the bottom of the bulb. But then you can have the stem that's below the soil line. So come out the top of the bulb, you're going to have 4 or 5 inches of stem that's underground. It grows roots on that stem. Those are called stem roots. Those are the most important roots on a lily. The ones in the bottom are just to get it started. The ones that really give you a good plant and a good bud count and good big flowers are the roots on the stem. So if you only have 2 inches of soil above the bulb, you don't have any stem roots. So that's why you want to have that 4 or 5 inches of soil over top of the bulb.
So you definitely need the 9.5 or the 9 inch or whatever the measure, not the shorty. I have shorties that I use for something else.
Yeah.
But those definitely would not work. So we typically put a couple pieces of newspaper in the bottom of the bulb crate, right? And then what kind of soil do you recommend using?
I recommend ProMix BX or something similar from another brand. You know, it's like every soil company has something that's similar to ProMix BX. And also, if you have access to Core, which is a coconut fiber, that also works really well. Either some people do it straight Core, but then you got to really be careful with your fertilizer. Or a mix of Core and ProMix or some other kind of peat-based soil. But the Core
is actually garden soil.
Not garden soil. For one, it'd be so heavy and so weedy. Yeah. You don't want that.
Okay. So speaking of fertilizer, do you need to fertilize?
You really should because it's unlike a tulip that grows really fast in 5 weeks it's done. The lily's going to grow for sometimes 3 or 4 months. And if you don't have fertilizer for them, they're just going to be weaker stems, smaller flowers. So it is good use of fertilizer. There is fertilizer out there called Easter Lily Special, which is a fertilizer specifically for lilies. But it's the blue powder fertilizer, like Miracle-Gro kind of stuff, but commercial grade. If you can get that, if you don't have access to that, you can use any other good fertilizer, but you should add some calcium. Calcium helps the lilies have a stronger stems.
Okay. Well, and so let's talk about watering while we're talking about fertilizing. So how often and how did you do that?
When you first plant them, you water them really good the first day you plant them, to the point where you don't want to pick those crates up because they're a muddy mess and weigh a ton.
Right.
So usually what we would do is we'd water a crate, put one on top and water that and stack them up and water the one on the top and let them drain before we move them again. Sometimes we wouldn't move them until later that day or the next day. You want them really wet to start with, but then no more water really until they're starting to sprout. And it's like a finger sticking out of the soil and some leaves starting to unfurl. Because what you want to do is have that lily grow roots looking for water when it's young. If you get too much water when it's young, it's not going to grow many roots. Then you get a warm, sunny day in July, and it's going to wilt, and there's no amount of water that's going to keep it from wilting because they don't have enough roots to nourish and sustain that entire plant that's grown into being.
But don't you find that they need more water once they start growth?
Yeah, once they're growing, once they're maybe 8 or 10 inches tall, you might have to water them a couple times a week. It all depends on the weather. You know, hot, sunny, windy is very different than cloudy and cool weather. But once they're showing buds starting to form, you want to make sure they never dry out.
Right.
And sometimes that means you have to water them every day.
And so that's what we had to do. And so this is a great question that just popped in my mind. So if you were going to store the lilies like I did in the cooler already planted, would you water those crates before you put them in the cooler or not?
Yes, water them before they go in the cooler. Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. That's just occurred to me.
Another quick hint I was going to say about watering. Everybody uses the watering wands as the little shower nozzle on the end.
Yeah.
Once your lilies are planted and you're watering later on in the crop process, if you take that shower head off, you can water twice as fast.
Yes, you can. It slows the water pressure down.
It comes out, it doesn't splash. It's not hard pressure. It just comes out faster without the actual shower nozzle, and you can water the crates much faster.
Yeah, it's true. That is for sure. So let's talk about when and how to harvest these guys.
Yeah, if you're growing lilies, you should never see an open one on your farm, in the field, in the truck, at the market. You just never want to see an open lily because an open lily is going to get broken. No matter how hard you try, how careful you are, somebody's going to bump into it. You're going to go to wrap it. When you sell it, take it out of the bucket, you're going to break a petal off. And then it's kind of like no good.
Or
So
your customer will trying
your
to get it
customers will too,
home.
yes. I always sold lilies by the stem, loose, individually at the market, but they're always unopened in the bucket. And people got to know, this is always outgrowing Sorbonne, a certain white, and the salmon class, if they knew what they would be. Or you could print a picture and put it on the table next to it. Or have pictures. If you sell them to a florist, you would have pictures on your availability list so they know what you have. But you want to sell them before they open, and that means you need to pick them before they open. And each variety is a little bit different. Some of them get really colored up, like a red lily. Sometimes the bud turns like a black cherry color before it opens. But you
Right.
get a yellow lily, it doesn't always change color much. It still just looks green. So you got to know by looking at the bud how swollen it is and the size of the length of the bud to know when that variety is going to open. So if you're new to growing lilies, you might miss a few. They might open on you. But after a while, you get to know that, okay, that variety is ready now. We need to pick it.
And so, what temperature for lilies would you, to keep them from moving as much as possible, what temperature would your cooler be?
You want the cooler about anywhere from 34 to 38, so pretty cold.
Yeah, that is
And
pretty cold.
one other thing to warn about is if it's a really hot weather, like in the 90s, and you're picking the lilies, you always want to pick first thing in the morning. May need to go back and pick later in the day. But you don't want to take a lily that's coming out of a hot greenhouse or out of the hot field and put it right into a cold cooler, especially with the oriental ones, because it like shocks them, and the rapid change in temperature
Right.
causes the buds to look like they're bruised, and there's no recovery from that. So you want to cool them off first. They put them in the shade in the barn and then put them in the cooler. What I used to do is I would put them on the cooler, but leave the cooler door open for half an hour. So it wasn't cold. It was just cool and then closed up and it was fine.
Right. Because Dave grew a lot of lilies, y'all. Let me
About
tell you.
800 a week year round.
Yeah, I did 200 a week and thought I was going to lose my mind.
You did 200 a month.
No, I did
Oh, you did
200
200 a
a
week?
week.
Okay. So you
And
were doing a lot. Okay.
yeah, I was, it was kind of bad. It was 8 crates a week. I can still remember
Oh,
that. Eight
planting is
crates
basically, yeah.
and 25 bulbs in a crate, which,
Yep.
so we need to talk about that. So how would you space them in the
Yeah.
crate?
Normally, I like to put 20 in a crate unless you're getting bigger bulbs and you get like a size 18, 20, only like 15 in a crate. So they need elbow room for their flowers once they're blooming. But if you need to plant them a little closer, like Lisa used to do 25, when you put the crates out where they're going to grow, just leave a couple inches between the crate
Right.
so they have elbow room for the flowers. It does mean, though, if you got 25 bulbs in a crate, it's going to need more frequent watering than one that only has 20 in the crate. So you got to take that into account also.
Yeah, we were always sure to use those deep crates. I can still remember, this side note, rabbit hole. My husband brought home years ago, he does a plumbing company and they do
Right.
all kinds of jobs. He brought home 8 commercial picnic tables, like the ones you see in the parks.
Right. Yep.
Those big wooden, well, that's what I grew my lilies on. Not only
Yeah.
did that help deter the deer, which I had to beat off, but it made watering and they kind of had their own space. It worked out really well for
On
that
top of
very
each other will.
reason.
I was going to say another thing, by growing them in crates, it also means you're not down your hands and knees planting because you can
Exactly.
stand up on a workbench or on a table like you were doing. And it's no fun down your hands and knees to pick. And even then, when you go to pick them on the picnic table, you didn't have to lean over to
Exactly. I
pick
mean, it was convenient for a lot of different
them.
reasons. And now that I don't grow them, those picnic tables were dispersed to all of our family members. So everybody has a nice one of those picnic tables is actually at the Gardener's Workshop warehouse.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
So I'm going to ask this because I know somebody will ask. And before you answer, I'll tell you what we did and why we did it. It's like
Okay.
when you cut it, you want to get as much stem length as possible. However, because we sold the bulbs to home gardeners after we dumped them out of the crates, we usually left like 3 or 4 inches of stem sticking up if there was enough length, but we always had super tall lilies, right? So what did you do?
Yeah, almost most of the varieties grow tall enough that you can still cut the 30-inch stem that you need and leave a foot or 18 inches still on the crate, on the a stump.
Right.
We would dump them in a pile outside the greenhouse, a huge pile of soil, and then we would take them out of if we in late summer and fall, we would save the bulbs to sell at the farmers market. Spring
Yeah.
and summer and winter, we didn't save them because we didn't need them then, and we couldn't resell that many of them. But we were packing them up. I think it was either five or six in a bag for $10. And we made a little cardboard, not cardboard, cardstock label with a picture on it. So people knew that was Royal Sunset or the Pink Sorbonne with the growing instructions. And we would sell them at the market every week from like early September till probably late October when it was getting too cold to be planting them out in the gardens. Because that way people then plant them in the garden, they get the natural cooling over the winter and they bloom next year for them. And I know some people that still who bought those lilies from me 10, 15 years ago who still have them in their gardens.
I still get pictures. And we did the very same thing. We dumped the crates, gathered up the bulbs, and I used those fishnet bags, you know, like potatoes come in. You know, I bought a bunch of those. And I mean, people loved buying those bulbs. And in fact, I sold them. I don't remember what I sold them for, except that I recoup the cost of my bulbs.
Right.
So it just ups your profit margin and people loved them. And so one of those crates that actually got dumped at the foot of that magnolia in my backyard where the hellebores grow had Royal Sunsets. They still bloom today. I never planted them. I just dumped the soil there. So they're hardier than we like to think. So there's a lot of great reasons to grow lilies, you know, in succession plant them, right? I mean,
But like we were talking about how you would dump them or maybe resell the bulb in the fall. I don't recommend trying to save them to grow them again next year unless you want to plant a few in the ground outside, let them come back and bloom in early summer. You're not going to be able to save them in the crate and give them the correct cooling, be able to grow them again next year and have a good flower. Two reasons, because when you've cut it off, this year that stem, that bulb might have put out five flowers. Next year might only do two or three because you cut off these before it regenerated the bulb.
And, you know, doesn't it come down to, it sounds like a great idea when you're bootstrapping, right? Yeah. But I'm here to tell you, the time and investment and morale of trying to save those blooms and you're not rewarded. It's kind of like starting lisianthus seeds. I can do it.
But
the end result is not the same as buying plugs and the quality and how much of a contributor to my, you know, production those flowers are. I don't have to worry about it. So, Dave, thanks for giving us the rundown on lily succession. So, y'all, so as he mentioned, there's a few suppliers that are out there, and I'm sure Jesse will put those in the show notes, including, you know, Dave is the rep at Ball. And if he's your rep, then he's there to help guide you. Because I just find that so totally amazing, Dave, that a grower can get your advice on which variety, you know what I mean? That extra level of customer service. And I appreciate that so very, very much. So Dave, anything else you want to add to our lily succession?
No, the only thing is that if people want to grow lilies, don't wait to order in the week you want to plant them. You should always order in advance, just like order your plugs in advance.
Yes.
Order lilies in advance. If you know you want to succession plant lilies every 3 or 4 weeks all season, place all those orders in the fall for next year. Don't wait and order each month because they'll run out of the colors you want.
It's true. And I mean, I know substitutions happen because there's crop failures, but I just read on social media, somebody was talking about that so many of the tulips they wanted were out of stock. It's like, holy cow, you should have been ordering your tulips when the tulips were blooming.
Right. But it's also a really bad year for tulips this year. So there's lots of subs.
Right. So that happens. You just have to have backup plans, right? Yep. So Dave, thank you so much as always for sharing your depth of knowledge with us. And friends, if you want to learn more about Dave Dowling's course, and you can find it over at thegardenersworkshop.com. It's flower farming school, perennials, bulbs, woodies, and more, right?
Bulbs, perennials, woodies, and more.
Oh, see, I always
words were backwards, but that's fine. They'll find it.
So it is knee deep, and Dave has a private community that he shepherds over on Facebook of his students. And it's available now. So check that out. And Dave, until we meet again, friends, ciao.
Great to see you. Bye-bye.